DOT expands airline consumer protections. GE says the Chinese aviation market won't wait, and Maine residents don't want F-15s at 500 AGL. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, August 24th, 2011. New consumer protections for airline passengers went into effect yesterday in the U.S. The Department of Transportation has extended the penalties for tarmac delays over 3 hours to international flights, required airlines to refund the a la carte fee you paid for your checked bag if they lose the bag, and has doubled the amount the airlines have to pay you if you're bumped involuntarily. There are lots of other details you can read about in the text version of this story, dated August 24th, at aero-news.net. GE's contract to supply synthetic vision technology to AVIC, the state-owned aviation industry corporation of China, has raised some eyebrows in the U.S., where companies often worry about the security of their intellectual property provided to Chinese joint venture partners. The deal is even more controversial because it helps AVIC develop airliners to compete with Boeing and Airbus. But in comments to the Washington Post, GE officials are defending their decision, saying the scope of the unfolding Chinese aviation market is an opportunity they couldn't miss. GE execs insist there are robust protections for their technology in the terms of the joint venture, including limits on hiring Chinese with military or national security backgrounds. The Post also reports a committee created to ensure compliance has the power to overrule the full board of the company if necessary. GE appears to be hoping the deal can improve its market share in avionics, where it currently sits in fourth place. The venture with AVIC is expected to employ about 300 engineers in the U.S., but a much larger workforce in China. That's discomforting to those promoting regulations which would seek to improve the U.S. balance of trade. GE has experience on both sides of that divide, battling to defend its technology in some cases, while also frustrated in getting the communist regime to allow imports of its U.S.-made products. But the company has clearly decided it can't afford to wait for individual cases to be resolved. As GE Aviation Systems CEO Lorraine Bolsinger tells the Post, quote, "We don't sell bananas. We can't afford to take a decade off," unquote. As government agencies look for ever more ways to tighten national security, there's increasing pushback from citizens unwilling to let precautions against hypothetical once-in-a-lifetime scenarios degrade the quality of their lives 365 days a year. Such a case is playing out in Maine, where Governor Paul LePage has joined residents fighting an Air National Guard proposal for low-level F-15 training flights in the mountains of western Maine. The location in question is codenamed Condor, and the ANG wants the ceiling for its practice flights dropped from 7,000 feet to just 500 feet, so F-15 pilots based at Otis Air Force Base in Massachusetts can train there. The Maine Public Broadcasting Network, MPBN, reports a similar proposal in the early 1990s was defeated by overwhelming opposition from local residents and lawmakers. Part of the issue is the danger to small aircraft flying at low altitude. In a letter to FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt, Governor LePage says F-15s at 500 feet would be a hazard to GA aircraft, quote, "darting to and fro on amphibious floats from lakes to the numerous small airports and private strips that dot the area," unquote. There's also an obvious noise issue. Opponents of the change note there's already an approved low-altitude training area in the Adirondack Mountains of New York State, where population densities are lower. The Air National Guard has not yet produced an environmental impact statement for its plan. That's expected this fall. When Aspen Avionics announced at Oshkosh that it was going to open source its system for wireless interconnects between aircraft panels and external devices, you could sense a sort of nervous silence, like the one when the boys and girls lined up at the old cotillion dances. Who would be the first partner? Well, we're still not sure, but it looks like Hilton Software will have that first dance. The company says its Wing X Pro 7 for the iPad will be ready for the debut of Aspen's connected panel system, which is expected to be released by the end of this year. Dr. Hilton Goldstein, CEO of Hilton Software, explains, quote, "By combining Wing X Pro 7's unique split view, terrain overlays, in-flight weather, and synthetic vision with Aspen Avionics' new connected panel, Wing X Pro 7 achieves a level of mobile avionics performance that is unparalleled in the industry," unquote. Aspen Avionics Marketing VP Brad Hayden adds, quote, Hilton's large user base now has the option to seamlessly integrate their installed avionics with their personal devices to make both more useful in everyday flying situations, unquote. WingX Pro 7 is available from iTunes and the Apple App Store. Still ahead, Pilatus continues its dominance in turboprop customer satisfaction. FSANA is now accrediting flight schools. And entry-level certificated airplane. Isn't that an oxymoron? You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, August 24th. I'm Paul Plack. In the 2011 Corporate Aircraft Product Support Survey of Business Aircraft Operators, conducted annually by Professional Pilot Magazine, Pilatus reports it again earned the top ranking in the turboprop division for the 10th year in a row. The annual survey has been conducted for jet aircraft since 1991. Turboprops were included starting in 1998. Since then, Pilatus has earned first place in the turboprop category every year except 2000, when there were no turboprop aircraft included. In five of those years, operators of Pilatus aircraft ranked their customer service experience even higher than perennial Jet Division winners Gulfstream and Cessna Citation. Pete Wolak, VP of Customer Service for Pilatus Business Aircraft, commented, quote, There really is no magic formula. It is difficult to beat the combination of Swiss craftsmanship built into every PC-12 and the pride taken by those who support it, unquote. Wolak also cited the experience and knowledge of Pilatus' worldwide network of service centers as a tremendous asset for its customers. The majority of Pilatus centers have been with the company since the PC-12 was introduced in 1994. FSANA, the Flight School Association of North America, says it has created the first flight school accreditation program in the history of flight training. The purpose of flight school accreditation is to maintain the highest standard for flight schools with respect to industry business practices and professionalism. FSANA President Robert Rockmaker explains, quote, For the first time in the history of flight training, flight schools will be able to determine if their business model meets a set of minimum standards developed by their peers. As a result, the business of flight training will be well served for years to come, unquote. You can get details at FSANA.com. And finally today, the FAA has formed a Part 23 Reorganization Aviation Rulemaking Committee tasked with modernizing the design and manufacturing rules for entry-level certified airplanes, which industry insiders say could also result in lower costs and increased growth opportunities for existing special light sport aircraft manufacturers. Regarding the low end of the market, General Aviation Manufacturers Association President Pete Bunz said sales at GA's low end have been falling for decades. Quote, While there are a number of factors contributing to this decline, one very prevalent issue is the increasing cost of certification and manufacturing oversight, which has led to a lack of cost-effective entry-level products which attract new pilots. Gamma believes the FAA's vision for the new Part 23 rules will enhance the vitality of GA for future generations of pilots and aircraft owners, unquote. If you'll excuse an editorial observation, I think these guys are a little out of touch. The entry level is not $300,000 Skyhawks or any other Part 23 aircraft, unless you get paid like a CEO. It's experimentals and SLSAs under six figures. That part of the industry could resume growing if the FAA would restore common sense and predictability to training regulations. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.